Hello, welcome to Violinist Podcast. I'm Maxim Filatov, the host, and today we have some brilliant violinist, Alena Baeva. Hello, Alena.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Would you like to tell about yourself? You have very rich biography.
Well, I'm not going to to tell you my biography. It's not...
Well, maybe not full, but maybe something what was life-changing for you.
Every year it's richer and richer, but it's, you know. Well, of course, we all have our life-changing memories. And yes, I would say that I have probably, with the time passed, I have the most memories from meeting Robert Mann, the founder of Juilliard Quartet. And he gave several master classes during Seiji Ozawa Quartet Academy, String Quartet Academy, in Switzerland, where I went for several years. And this, you know, I wrote down the things he told, because I think it was priceless, and still they ring with me like very often. I remember the things of, like, he told once, you know, that just a beautiful sound is not very interesting. It's like just a beautiful girl without a character. That was a beautiful sound. Yes, what is beautiful sound? It's true, and like many other things. Well, it's incredible how some people can put in words an idea, and it resonates with certain people and changes them throughout many, many years. Incredible.
And how old were you that time?
Well, 2006, I was 21.
Okay, so pretty grown up already.
Yeah. But still, I was, you know, I was very... I'm still trying to be very open and perceptible, susceptible for learning and changing. I think that maybe my desire to change things and to be in to be able to change things, I think that maybe even sometimes go too far, because I really like, I'm really afraid of doing the same thing all the time.
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit dangerous.
That's what Vadim Guzman was in previous interview saying, that the most dangerous when it becomes a routine.
Right, it's true. It's true, because it's dying, and music making is not music making anymore.
Yes,
it becomes a profession, and that's sad.
Yeah, I can relate to it, because when you work in orchestra every week, could be really becomes like routine.
Yeah, it's true. But of course, what is amazing too is to meet an orchestra, to meet players who, you know, they with open eyes, and they really are searching for the moments to be inspired and to keep others inspired. This is the essence of music making. I think that's very, very important. It doesn't matter if you, you know, like, where you play and what you play. It's important how you play it and how you share this experience with others.
And how do you find this vision, how to play, and in which way?
Well, by chance, I guess. No, it's always different. It's always different. Sometimes, well, I think we musicians are a little bit, like, there is also some sort of theater. I mean that we sometimes take certain role and start to play it if we like it. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's clear, but it's for me at least, it's like sometimes I'm being inspired by some idea in a, like, an exhibition. I saw, you know, a series of paintings, or some things I wrote about some, you know, scientists or like genetic, which I love. I sometimes read on medicine and genetics, and there are some ideas which really make me fascinated, and I somehow try to, well, I don't try, I think it does change the way I also play sometimes, and what I bring out of the piece when I play. So I don't know, there is a connection. Yeah, when you feel like there are so many interesting things over there, and it just can, you know, you dig a little bit and then you find something very interesting. That also helps me, and I'm sure it helps everyone too, in music. Yeah, when you go and learn a new piece and you are prepared to see something very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand that one conductor, I don't remember who, but he said that when you're younger, if you want to play better, you should practice. And when you're getting older, if you want to play better, you go to the forest mm-hmm. to get some inspiration. And I also can relate to it because, yes, that somehow, of course, practicing is important, but you also should have inspiration. Because, for example, what I find for me hard, that for me it's not hard to practice a lot, like 6 hours, let's say. But it very easily becomes like you just turn off your mind and just play whatever.
Wow, 6 hours?
Yeah, sometimes, like before auditions. But it very easily becomes that you just turn off the mind,
mm-hmm.
like sport.
Yeah, I know the pianists. With pianists, it's probably different because pianists, they literally need to play more notes mm-hmm. than we do.
Yeah, they're complaining always about it.
Right, and to remember. But it's physically kind of more, I think they have to more movements in the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know personally several pianists. For example, my husband can read a math book. He's recently completely turned into the mathematics.
Oh, okay.
And he's planning to get a degree. But he's reading these math books with super difficult concepts. And he's also playing some piece he knows.
Mm.
Or he can practice and read at the same time. I did it last time when I was 11, I think. Because I don't know, I practice totally differently. If I get to practice, it's not very much I practice these days.
Oh, how much?
Well, it's very far from every day. But of course, if I have concerts every day, I play every day.
Mm.
Or rehearsals every day. And the days I don't play concert rehearsals, I usually don't practice. But what I do is when I think of a piece,
mm-hmm.
it kind of starts playing in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's the thing with most of musicians. When I think of this piece, it starts like play button. Mm-hmm. And there is some kind of work being done. I realize, you know, when I go, you know, to drink coffee and then I come back, the piece went through. I mean, it was on a play mode, mm-hmm. but I just didn't. It was just, you know, it will be the different place in the piece
mm-hmm.
already when I finished my coffee, for example. But what I want to say is that our mind power is absolutely incredible. And I think praxis is a special mode when you enter common center, I know, whatever, the most important common center of functioning of our body and mind. And then during praxis you can change some things, which will make a huge impact later.
Uh-huh.
So if you make some discoveries during practice, if you are really attentive to your feelings, your body, and to sound, and to whatever you find important, or so these things can really have a bigger impact with time.
Uh-huh.
So it's for me, it's very important how I practice because I do really practice very little time.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how about exercises which you need like maybe every day, I don't know, to practice? Do you have like scales or?
Well, I love scales, although I don't always have time for scales. Mm. Well, I don't make time for scales, but I would say I practiced really, really, well, not always 6 hours. So when I was a teenager, a child and a teenager, it was a sportive moment when I really enjoyed getting, you know, working on passages, and of course slow practice is priceless, absolutely priceless, because you just fix things, and then tempo is not a problem. When you fix things in a slower tempo, you can increase tempo later. It's really much easier than well, I also loved practicing fast. But yeah, I really loved it.
But
For example, like, well, now it's a bit, you play Bartok violin concerto, it's a bit kind of short, but if you have like long concerto, how do you prepare it? Because it kind of needs a lot of practice. How do you prepare it?
Well, it's, it depends if I really know the piece well. Mm. Or actually, I'm very also quick to learn new repertoire, very quick. I think that's also a skill you can learn when you are really young. And it's an incredible... I think I was very lucky with my professor. He pushed sometimes me to... or his students to learn a piece in a few days. Uh-huh. Or to remember... For example, I think I was like 13 and... Well, I was playing already fast uh-huh. and difficult things by that age. And he told me, you have to play Waxman Carmen Fancy in 2 days. And I didn't play it for, I don't know, half year, maybe more. I don't know, maybe half year. Uh-huh. And that was a big stress. Uh-huh. But this kind of stress situations makes you learn how to do the best of the time practicing. So
yeah, I can agree. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like our body in any situation, not only practicing violin.
Yeah, because you mobilize yourself, your mind, and everything.
Of course, and this is also adrenaline changes all processes in our body and the mind. It helps to be very efficient. So, yeah, for example, before coming here, I played Tchaikovsky concerto in France, and Tchaikovsky I played last time a year ago. And also I was thinking about it. I was thinking what I want to change. Mm-hmm. And I played this concerto since I was, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. What I want to change in this piece this time, because it's 1 year, it's quite a time. Mm-hmm. And I was imagining, I was kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but having some ideas about what you want to say differently. But I did not really practice before the first rehearsal with an orchestra. Mm. Also after, not
really?
Much. Yes, a cadenza I didn't rehearse at all. Okay. And but this piece is very special because I was playing it so many times. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, yeah, maybe this way, because I even posted in Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. I recently was preparing Sibelius violin concerto for audition, mm-hmm. but also I played so many times before, and then I decided to look how it will sound from first take, mm-hmm. if you record, and it sounds very well. And
right.
I was like, oh, maybe I don't need to practice. So, because yeah, if you know piece very well before, then maybe it works.
Yes, it does help, of course. Whatever we learn when we are young, that's why, you know, if you're young, you just go for it, just play so as many pieces and as good as you can.
Yeah,
it's really the golden time, a prime time. You do everything, all the work you do then, and then you have much more space and time to have different ideas, but you don't necessarily need to spend so many hours on violin. I mean, that's my experience.
Yes,
I think, I'm sure, I know that physiology is different. Mm-hmm. And some things which are natural for one people, for one person, is not automatically same, give the same freedom for another one. But it's, so I think it's important to know your strengths and weaknesses, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and of course we change ourselves with the years passing, mm-hmm. and we are not the same all the time. So methods also probably changes.
It's true, yes. For example, I'm going to start practice again. Okay. Because age doesn't help.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fantastic. Many years I was making children, I was traveling with them to the concerts, I was quite busy, and I didn't really practice. But I think it's the time came.
Yeah, that's what Vadim also was saying, that actually with aging, you kind of should practice more.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
less.
Yes, there is a moment when you feel that it doesn't, you need to warm up, this uh-huh. kind of thing. I didn't really need to warm up before.
Uh-huh.
But, and you want to keep it fresh and alive, of course. That's a very nice feeling. Although I think it's still, well, was it? It was Christian Tetzlaff, actually. Uh-huh. I wrote his interview in New Yorker a while ago, a few years ago, and he told folks stop practicing 4 hours a day maximum. We don't need more than that. And I loved that interview, actually. I recommend everyone to read it. It's the practice is really a very intensive time. Intense time when you really work during practice, it brings you a lot of fruits. It brings you a lot of. I think the quality of practicing is much more important than quantity. Well, let's see what I say in 10 years.
Yeah. Well, of course, but the problem, of course, everyone tries to be effective when practicing, but it's not always happening. Because sometimes you have bad mood, sometimes you don't feel well, I don't know.
Yeah, and this is this time if you have to practice, if you have to learn to work, or in even, it's good to practice. Actually, it's a kind of meditation.
Yeah.
It's so helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, if you even start slowly, calmly, focusing on 1, 2, 3 things only, it really is beneficial. But sometimes no practice is beneficial. Sometimes you just have to sleep, whatever, you know.
Sleep
it depends,
is also very
yes,
well.
Yes. Sleep is crucial. Yeah.
I actually read some research that successful musicians actually slept more than average people.
Really?
Yes.
How do they know?
Yeah, that they made some research and that they slept longer and also had a middle day nap.
A nap?
Yeah,
okay.
Like 1 hour or something.
Right, to keep oneself fresh, yeah.
Because I do sometimes, like after work, you go home, take 1 hour sleep, and then you're back like fresh, like new day starts.
Yes, it's good sometimes before the concerts.
Yeah,
if
also,
you have
yeah.
this opportunity, of course, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how do you find the inspiration that is not getting boring?
You know, I think we are so lucky that we can play music. We are so lucky. Most of people don't even understand how much happiness it brings to play and to share and to listen also. And this, I think we should not forget about it because this exists. It does exist. So it's real and it's endless source of inspiration, I think. You know, I was 16 years old when I had a masterclass with Ida Handel.
Yeah, okay.
And the same masterclass in Israel where I met Vadim Glusman.
Okay.
In yes. Keshet Elon. So I asked Ida, you played Tchaikovsky concerto since you were a child. How do you not, she was 80 something at the time. How do you not get bored of this piece so many times? And she looked at me with her eyes wide open. It's like, how could you say like this kind of thing? How can I ever be bored with this amazing piece of music? It is a masterpiece. And she's absolutely right. And I see that, I understand that she was not, you know, kind of acting or it's like so genuine. The feeling that you access something divine every time you touch it, and you are given so many possibilities to make it alive and shine, and it's actually a crime to not to not make it, yeah, to be bored. If bored, well, sometimes you can get tired of a piece, so maybe put it aside and then play something else. I think a variety of repertoire is a great medicine. Yeah.
But do you have like, for example, I have feeling when I don't like piece, I can't play it good. Do you have some like pieces which you just can't play? Like for example, Oistrakh, he was never playing Paganini, I think. Oh, well, at least there is no recording of Paganini caprices and Bach, I think. Do you have like some pieces which you can't play?
Well, I don't think I never played Paganini concerto.
Okay.
And when I was young, very young, I thought it's not interesting. I thought it's not very interesting music. I'm more into really real stuff. But then I found a really nice quality of this music. It can be really beautiful when played with love and elegance and brilliance. It's fantastic, but I still never played it. I don't know. Sometimes, well, most of cases, of course, when you play the piece, you start to love it, even if you didn't in the very beginning. But is the key how to do it, how to play it, even if, you know, in some piece of music which is not great, you can find something. It's possible. But yes, one time I remember I had an experience of playing Schnittke Sonata number 2 mm-hmm. with a G minor chord on triple fortissimo repeating 47 times at one point. And this was banging my head so much. And it was just very hard. I could not force myself to learn it. And then I was very young, and there was an older pianist who suggested, he was a teacher of chamber music, he suggested we play this together, and I never was a fan of Schnittke. Mm. So I agreed to try, because it's good to try, but I called him, I just said, I don't think I can do that. Mm. And he told me, you know, try a little bit more, you don't have to love, it's not about loving or beauty, you know. So I think we did it and then, but I never played it again.
Okay.
Yeah. This experience really was kind of not my cup of tea somehow. I probably, well, I don't have any memories of that. It was a very long time ago.
Because, for example, for me, quite often hard to play modern pieces, to understand what the composer mm-hmm. wanted. Like, do you have like this or no? Like.
Well, it's very, very different. Music is very, sometimes music is super modern, but it's written in the beginning of 20th century.
Yes, of course.
Right? And nowadays, well, there are so many tools the composer use. So sometimes they are focusing on an idea which lies outside of music very often. Well, exactly. Not only modern composers, of course. But really,
yeah.
It depends of
just lot to show off like some tricks.
Yeah, but sound can be a very powerful thing by itself. The sound picture is very important. Sometimes we musicians even don't realize. For example, I often talk with some wonderful members of the orchestras, and they really. Not always have a clear picture how it sounds from outside. While they really work hard and the conductor is very demanding and the result is absolutely breathtaking and outstanding, but they don't realize it from being inside. They're a little bit, you know, tired, exhausted sometimes. So it's great, of course, what we do, but they still don't realize how great is that. So there is always something above. We should be aware of it, I think, musicians, because what we present, what we share with people playing music, they always can take more than we think. So yeah, it's also a responsibility. So sound picture is very fascinating, can be great. Also, it's good to highlight things. What was it? Heifetz told it. You have to feel really strong so other can feel as well.
Yeah
I think it will have it, I'm not sure, but it's really the idea is to share. And what is great is it's also said by Robert Mann, you know what he said: when you practice, imagine an active listener. This is priceless, I think.
Of course.
Absolutely priceless, because practice, not because of you want to, well, sometimes you want to fix something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you play something, practice for yourself, imagine a person who understands and who listens and who loves to hear. And what would you give him or her?
Yes.
This person. This is amazing. I think it's amazing advice.
Yeah, and I feel that sometimes we are too much focusing on technical side and forget about musical side. Like it's very easy when you studied like for many years, just you start notice like wrong note, wrong sound, but you forget about bigger picture. That's what I feel.
I think it's very often, especially in professional, ultra narrow professional music studies, which we have last few tens of years.
Yeah.
I think it's very also important to remember that sharing music is not a sport. If something is not perfect, it doesn't matter at all.
Mm.
And also, I think what is great is to maybe play for pleasure, you know, to make this house concerts, home concerts. That's what I really love to do and to listen, is to play chamber music for friends.
Oh, okay.
I think that's such a great way to keep with the essence and nature of music making. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I had a break, like two weeks, I didn't play violin. I try to, before going on a tour, I try to make a kind of house gathering and trio reading or quartet or quintet, some kind of chamber music, just to enjoy music and to remember how is it to play violin after a break. Yeah, it's the most natural, for me at least.
Yeah, I remember in one master classes in Switzerland, we just took our instruments at night, like at midnight, and just started to play whatever quartets, quintets, changing instrument like viola, violin.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty fun.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really...
Because we're supposed to enjoy it, not, you know...
Of course.
Like a work, you know.
Yeah, yeah, that's what music is about. That's why we all do it, actually. Because it's great.
Also, my teacher was telling stories that before there was some teacher in London who was bringing his students to home, and they were playing whole night like some quartets and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. Because so much we sometimes think about technical and should be joyful, and also some people does not realize that if you don't enjoy, public also won't enjoy it.
Yeah, most of the times. Mm-hmm. Most of the times. Yeah, and also, you know, I was in one of the books I wrote on biology, it says that biology does not have perfection. Mm-hmm. It does not exist in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Perfection does not exist. What do you think? It's not easy for me was to grasp. Of course, health is perfection. It's kind of nature is striving to perfection, I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like beauty or...
Mm-hmm.
But what is really the most important for living species or living individuals is a variety. If there is a variety, then there is life. It's true. It's not a perfection.
Because now a computer can perfectly record and any music.
Of course.
But it's not interesting.
No.
And actually, I also prefer live performance than recording, because it's usually live. Like, even if someone makes mistakes, it can sound well.
Yeah, of
even
course.
Better.
It's not. It's not a mistake. It's well. What is mistake? Mistake. Yeah. If there is some value in and joy or sense in what people play, it doesn't have a mistake. I think, because this is the ultimate goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like to play violin all your life, or you had some maybe years when you did not want to, or it was like from the beginning you felt that it's your thing to do?
Well, I hardly remember. I was five. But what I remember clearly is that I had a very good first teacher. She told the very good basics. She was specializing in teaching little ones. And that, I think, was a great chance for me. And I was quite fast progressing. I could play fast, as I remember. Maybe not very beautiful sound, but fast for sure. So that was a little bit sportive element for me. But I think for many kids.
Yeah, especially when you study and you see your classmates who could be better technical or something and you want be best.
Well, yeah, this element is, I'm not sure it's very, very healthy also and very good to emphasize, because I think it's very important to as a mother, I think it's very important to first of all be concentrated and focused on bringing the best of yourself and not compare with others, because everybody is different. And your weaknesses, your strengths is the most important also for children. Of course a competition exists,
yeah,
and sometimes it's very good to be in an environment surrounded by people like you, right? But it's important. It's big advantage. Yeah, but I was kind of always, I found in violin as a way to think about world, I know, a way to meditate, a way to reconcile, to feel, to find, I don't know, even find answers sometimes, I don't know, when I practice,
yeah, like
I feel,
meditation.
I feel so much better after practice.
Of course,
yeah,
of course.
And forget about the good concert, I mean, it's just uncomparable to anything.
Yeah, sometimes it's good just to have time, not to hurry, to prepare to some concert or audition, just to play for yourself, yeah.
I remember once I was practicing Bartok number 2 concerto, and there was a plumber coming to my apartment to fix something because something didn't work, some tube. And apparently he was, when I just let him inside, we spoke, he saw violin, and apparently he was a meloman, a music lover. We discussed some interpretations of Mahler symphonies. I was very surprised, and then he went to work, and I went to practice. Oh no, it was Bartok solo sonata.
Oh, okay.
And then I went to practice Bartok, but I really imagined the active listener about Robert Mann told about. Yeah, it was very interesting. We didn't exchange a word after, but I would. I needed to learn this piece, and it was very, not the most pleasant things to hear, but I'm sure there was some kind of silent communication between us.
Yeah, well, that's actually also important sometimes to hear someone not professional opinion about how it should sound.
Yeah, actually, yeah, exactly. It's very, very important. And also I think it's great when we can play for each other. It is so wonderful. Because just sharing things, and when you talk to somebody, you already feel better when you talk about something what is important to you. And when you so it's the same with playing. When you play something, you realize things about your playing which you didn't realize before. I think it's very, we should not underestimate.
Yeah. Well.
So many advices, too many advice.
Well, yeah, maybe you have what you can advise to violinists nowadays. How to succeed and how to live good life.
Well, good life is first of all to find happiness around you, I think. That makes a good life. Well, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I feel now. And enjoy. Enjoy what you do. It's not easy. I have so much respect for people playing violin. I guess I was just very lucky with physiology and teachers. So for me, it was not, I cannot say it was difficult for me.
Well,
yeah, I like to kind of, of course, I cheated with clock. I didn't practice as much as I supposed to when I was a child. But still, I liked to practice when I was a teen. Yeah, and but I realized that for many people, it's a totally different journey. It's very special in every case.
Yeah.
And I have enormous respect for people. It's like the hardest thing ever. I don't know how to teach young people play. I mean, children from zero. It's such a
yeah,
quite a task.
Incredible
so,
work.
So I think you're already doing great, and if you like it, go on and just be the best version of yourself.
Well, yeah, that's good words to end interview. I have some gift for you, etc.
Oh.
Try for every
so
every
sweet.
Guest.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Shirt designed by me, but with a painting of my friend from Kiev. She's a professional painter. Yeah, if someone wants, can check on my website.
That's this. Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. The t-shirt is beautiful. Beautiful painting. Girl,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well,
but
thank you.
I thank you, our listeners, for listening. Alena has concert tomorrow, so we will let her go. And thank you for listening, and come for our next episode. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.